Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity.
Well, welcome back to our Abound in Hope podcast. It's great to have you with us. We are in a new month, July. It's great to be in the summertime here. And with that new month, we are starting a new series on relationships this month. So for the next 4 weeks, you're going to hear us talk about various relationships and things that are pertinent to people within the context of our church. We'll hear from married couples, we'll hear from some singles, and we'll even hear about dealing with loss a little bit in life as we are dealing with complexities of various people's lives and stages of life as well. So we're looking forward to this. Hope you'll join us for these next 4 weeks. So I'm sitting here. Oh, I forgot to say, I'm Darren Larson. Yeah, and you are?
Tom Regan.
And I'm sitting here with two wonderful people who are going to introduce themselves right now.
I'm Jill Duffy.
And Bill Duffy.
Awesome. Jill and Bill. It's great to have you guys with us today. We are here to basically interview you guys today and to hear a bit of your story, which we're looking forward to. So in light of having a relationships podcast, tell us a little bit about yourself. You guys are married, and when did you get married? How did you meet? All that stuff.
Much to many people on this side's story or whatever. We are Cougars, and we did meet in Pullman at Washington State.
Just alienated half your audience.
I'm sorry, but hey.
You had to throw that in there.
I had to throw that in
go
there.
Cougs. She's like, I got a microphone. Go Cougs.
And we, go Cougs. We met my junior year, his senior year, and dated for 3 years, a year and a half of that we were apart. So we had to learn to communicate, and this was before any kind of online phones, all that. So it was snail mail and phones. And we got married 3 years later and 19. Do I need to say it?
Yeah,
maybe not.
Sure.
88.
Wow. That's wonderful.
August. So we're coming up on 33 years in August.
That's awesome. Wow.
And I just fell in love with this guy. Beautiful blue eyes and a great smile and lots of humor.
That's how I always think of Bill, beautiful blue eyes.
I'm an eye person. I love to, So.
You want to add anything to that, Bill?
Yeah, what's your side of the story?
No, that's pretty much sums it up. I went to Chicago for almost a year while she was still in school, and I then moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And we were selling medical supplies in Albuquerque, and tried to convince Jill to come move down to Albuquerque, and she was having no part of that. So we had been dating long enough where, in today's world, people live together all the time.
Yeah.
And thankfully, she said no and put me on notice that we're either going to do this thing the right way or we're done.
Yeah.
And so that was actually a good thing. And so
were you guys believers at that time, I take it? Did you guys know Christ?
I would just say I knew of the Lord,
yeah.
But was I walking with God at that time? No.
Yeah.
So, not the way that I am today, or the way that the Lord would want me to be.
Yeah.
So,
Were you guys raised in the church, and is that kind of why you see a nod or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah.
My start of it was more a fear of, going to hell, than really a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And that came after we were married, when we moved back up here and started attending a church up here.
That's great.
Where that personal relationship with Jesus Christ was more of a focus of what a Christian walk in life was like. And that just opened a whole new world
for
me.
So, Bill, was Jill's faith formative for you, or how did you come around, so to speak?
I would say my faith journey started when my brother went to Wazoo and the Navigators knocked on his door. I come from a big Irish Catholic family, and we did the Catholic thing, not to say anything bad. There's some great Catholics, and when he came home changed after giving his life to the Lord, I can remember my dad saying, "Oh my goodness, I think he's in a cult." I'm not kidding. That's how foreign it was. But he was a changed guy. And so for me to witness that, and then to go through college, it was really at the discovery class of North Shore.
Oh, yeah.
Through that process where I really recognized that I needed the Lord in a big way
Oh, cool.
on a personal level. And that's when I started Just diving in,
yeah.
and thinking, man, this is something that is life-changing and really does make a difference. And I was watching Jill, and I knew that Jill was on the sidelines cheering me on, right? Mm. And so that was some great stuff and good times. And so that's kind of how I really became a Christian and became walking with God.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
So 33 years, I take it out of that 33 years, you've produced some progeny as well. Tell us a little bit about those. Children's.
Our oldest daughter, Megan, is 27 or
27.
Six. She'll be 26.
I'm sorry, you're right. 26.
That 26.
I always believe mom over dad. Yeah.
She'll be 27 this year.
She's going to kill us. I'm adding a year.
And then we have twins that are 18, just graduated from high school and are venturing on to
Boise State.
Very cool. So, both of them going to Boise State?
They are.
Oh, that's amazing. We have like a pipeline at Imprint Church to Boise State for some reason. Yeah, so
we have a few. So
lots of kids are now choosing Boise State.
Yeah.
So
pretty great place.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for being here and being willing to share a bit of your story. I think I'd love to just kind of kick off the question of like, how has your marriage changed over the seasons of your life? You have 33 years and under your belt. So what was it like when you first got married? What was it like 5 years after you got married? What did it turn into in the later years, you know, that you've been?
Go ahead.
I mean, I can tell you that by nature, as most of us are, we're very selfish people. Hmm. And so I was a selfish person. I mean, I still am. And without the Lord, I don't think that we would be married just because I know who I am. Mm. But God changes you. He can continue to, and he does. And so, but as a young guy, who's always been very driven and very, I wasn't thinking much about anybody else. Mm. Mm. And so, in the younger parts of the marriage, It was not easy. Hmm. I can remember there were times when it was like, dang, you know, what did we do? We're down in this little apartment in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Jill's.
That was your first problem. You were in New Mexico.
actually, it's a great place,
it was actually a blessing.
Yeah. It was good, and that gets back to the family.
I'll ask that question in a few minutes here.
Yeah. So anyway, how's the Lord changed our marriage in different seasons?
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about that because we were, you know, this process of being asked to discuss our marriage kind of prompted us to have some great conversation.
That's cool.
Yeah, it does. And so communication has, and that's Jill's thing. She's a communicator. I am not by nature a communicator. I think most guys would say that the woman is more apt to that. Not in every case.
Because we have lots of words to get out, right?
Yeah, you got lots of words. So anyway, I think that just as we've gotten older and gone through different phases of our life, we've always been able to communicate, and I take no credit, zero. Mm-hmm. She has been able to somehow force that level of communication. She demanded it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an awesome deal. Mm-hmm. I hated it sometimes, and I was really upset. But
how'd you do that, Jill? Out of curiosity, what was your?
I don't know whether
it's like
it be
Bill,
a topic.
Come out of your room.
No.
Yeah.
I know one of the big ways that I would truly get to know his heart and where he was at is in praying together.
Hmm.
It's something that we've done. I mean, some seasons better than others.
Yeah.
When I truly want to hear what is on his heart, maybe what's bothering him, what's concerning him, is when we go to prayer together. Hmm. And we corporately pray. We both take turns praying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's given me maybe more of an open eye to see or hear something that he might not be up to change, to just openly say to me initially.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can talk from that. But usually it's about things we're frustrated with or whatever when we're just talking
about
with
her and what I want to change.
Kidding. It's gone
I'm
both
kidding.
Ways. But that's been huge way to get to know or to draw him out.
Yeah.
And then I don't know.
I mean, the prayer thing is like she said, it's a great way to communicate. Mm-hmm. And over the season, you know, over the years, it's so weird to think we've been married for 33 years. especially for people that are new in marriage, it's hard. Yeah. You know, you know, it's like kind of weird. You're like, dang, man, I've never, a lot of people don't pray together.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a different experience for them. Mm-hmm. And so, but once you get used to it and you start just doing it, it's amazing how you do, for one reason or another, the Lord just opens up your heart and you start saying things you would never directly say to your spouse.
Yeah.
Because you're talking to the Lord and the Lord gives you, I don't know what happens there, but I know it's been a great way for Jill to kind of find out different things about what's on my heart.
Did you also find that if you were like frustrated with each other, that your hearts were softened
totally.
When you're praying?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. It's, yes. Mm-hmm. I would just say
that's
yes.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife and I've had experiences like that before too, where we stop to pray together, and it kind of tears down a wall, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's some invisible wall that's there. It's like it's hard to explain it, but it actually does happen at various times.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah. Has your you mentioned communication? Mm-hmm. Talk about communication a little bit and how that's changed throughout the years of your marriage as well, and what lessons have you learned in communicating well with one another?
Go ahead. You have something good on your mind.
No, I'm just thinking, gosh, when we first got married, it wasn't great.
No, I can remember Jill being in bed and crying. Mm-hmm. And I would go, what's the matter? You know, I'd look at her like some guy, I know nothing. What?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like this. Yeah. And she'd like, and then she would start talking and I would be like, yeah. I guess that is true. And I guess that is going on. And so, you know, depending upon your background and how you're taught to communicate, or not, you know, there's a lot to learn.
And I think also not just, focusing on the spoken communication, but truly listening that I think is also important. Uh-huh. Not always directly with what is said, but maybe what's behind what is said, that there's that emotional side of it too.
Yep.
That sometimes I could get across, but not always, or not always was it receptively received. But I'm trying to think. Then we had times where communication was so open and free, and then, you know, kids come along and then you have to find that time to be able to communicate.
Yep.
And so
have you guys done any kind of liturgy, like things that are part of your marriage where you do rhythms. Date night rhythms or something like that? Do you guys set aside time to communicate together, or does it happen in the context of just hanging out together, or what does that look like?
Time is big, and when we were first married and working, and then we would come home, it always seemed like we would, you know, communicate over a meal.
Yeah.
As kids came along, we definitely, I guess one of the words is to be, we were very intentional about our time.
Yeah.
And so would try to plan date nights. You know, you'd have to find that right sitter or family member. And we're pretty intentional about a weekly or maybe at least twice a month getting out, just to be Bill and Jill and not just parents. Mm-hmm. And at that time, be able to communicate. Do you want to talk about planning and goal setting and that type of stuff we used to do too?
Every year at the beginning of the year, I would be like, okay, we're going to have a plan. We're going to go away for the week.
His business weekend. Side of him comes out.
And, you know, it started out
good though.
Yeah,
this is good.
Yeah.
It started out with the whiteboard and the 5-page plan of goals of everybody. And over the years, the whiteboard is gone, and the 5 pages have been whittled down to a 1-page cliff note of the highest priority stuff.
Yeah.
But it's awesome.
Yeah.
And being able to reflect back on the previous year's goals and say what you did and what you were able to accomplish. It's kind of fun.
So explain this a little bit. Do you do them for your marriage, for your family, for your, like pieces of your life together, or finances or
career?
Yeah. What were they?
Individual.
Oh, cool.
You know, goals for
kids. All those things.
All those things.
Yeah. So
it was, you rope your kids into that?
No.
So it was just you and Jill.
It was just Jill and I, and we'd get away for the weekend. We'd usually go away. And maybe just a night in Seattle, or it may be, I don't know where we went, but we would always go somewhere. And we would start out with, you know, what is what do we want to do at church? What do we want to do spiritually? How do we want to commit to reading through some books of the Bible or reading a Christian book? And then who are we going to share the gospel with this year? Stuff like that. That's spiritual goals. And then it would be, for me, it was always finances because that's kind of my thing. I just have always been focused on that. And then the kids and their goals. What do we want them to be by the end of the year?
Cool.
And so, and then what else? Oh, vacation. Where we were going on vacation. I mean, that's would plan the whole year out. And so we'll different things like that. What's that?
I said, or try. Yeah.
But it was fun because at the end of the, oh, and then we'd have home projects. Jill was always like, oh, we got to put the home projects on there. And so we would have home, you know, it feels good to knock a couple of major goals out. And so we did it together.
Yeah.
It was one of those things that bonded us together. And so those are good things, you know, I mean, and it shows the kids that you value them, that you value marriage and you value, you know, relationship, and it keeps your life a little bit more orderly in this chaotic world.
I imagine there's some level. It also reduces the amount of stress that happens with communication throughout the year of like, you guys are on the same page and you kind of know where you're going instead of having these unspoken expectations that maybe one of you had the plan to put the grass in this year and the other one doesn't, and it doesn't happen. It creates a lot of tension there. Like if you can go in, agree with those right away, it makes, it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
My wife started this thing with us recently that's called having a staff meeting. And it's apart from date night for us, and our staff meeting is just to get our calendars on the same page and talking through those things. We tried to have those on a regular basis. It's, she does better than me at making sure those happen. But I like what you're saying with that. It's really, it's kind of practical advice. Would you suggest families do that? Like young families and make that happen?
I do. Yeah. I do. And you don't, I mean, think about it. When I first started, whiteboard. I mean, I can remember sitting in the hotel room with the easel and the whiteboard. Jill, this is what we're going to do, you know, type of thing. And then over the years, you know, I would see how much we accomplished and I'd be like, okay, got to dump the whiteboard.
Realistic.
And then,
down a little bit.
But what we would do is she would go, we had our categories, spiritual, family, home, kids. And then we would put personal and we'd have, you know, like, how much weight we were going to lose, you know, how good a shape we're, and we would do them separately. And then, so when we got together, we would be able to jointly have a more productive conversation. So that's how we did it.
We meet weekly, as you're talking about the staff meeting too, kind of on a Sunday night, especially when we first got married because Bill traveled quite a bit. And so it gave me an idea, okay, are you around? Are you not around? You know, do you have late night meetings where you'll be home for dinner or not? Which helped me because, you know, I'd make this meal and he'd not show up. It's like, wow, that's frustrating. So that kind of helped me see into his world as to what's going on. And that was helpful too.
That's super practical. I love that. Can I ask a little deeper probing question on that one? How do you guys make decisions together? Like, what does it look like to make a big decision, like buying a house or investing in something or moving, or how have you got, or sending your kids to X school or Boise State, or why Boise State instead of Wazoo? I don't get it. You know, how do you make these decisions together? You know?
I think we both go privately, kind of like we did with our goals, and you know, prayerfully consider it. We make lists. I'm a list person.
Pros and cons type thing or something.
Yes, and then get together corporately. And we pray and kind of do the pros and cons as well. If it's something timely, you know, there are often times where it'll be something where I'll just have to say I don't have a feeling either way, or if I do and feel very strongly, I'll share that with Bill.
You know, the one thing I think about when you ask that question is, how do we make decisions? And I would say that with over time, slowly. Fast decisions are usually bad. And so that's something that I've learned in as I've gone through life, and I'm getting a little longer in the tooth here, is just like, you know, I'm a very spontaneous person. I mean, Jill will attest to the fact that I've had some crazy stuff and made some really bad snap decisions. And so that's one thing I've learned. So usually what happens now is we start talking about it, and then it just kind of hangs out, and we we'll come back and we'll hit it some more, and then we'll talk more. And then it's kind of like, okay, we've got to make the choice. Hmm. And so there's prayer in there. We actually pray about it, which is a big for us. And we just, it's like, okay, what do you want to do? And at the end of the day, the big choices, we usually agree upon them. That's there's cool. not been a lot of stuff that where she, you know, she will say, you know, I don't want to do that, or
yeah.
or and I say, I really do.
Yeah.
And probably the time that you spend and the process of it kind of helps you maybe arrive at a similar conclusion, rather than if you just made a decision on the spot. You know, she hasn't come along, or you haven't come along to where they are, but maybe there's time for you guys to kind of
right
just process together, get on the same page.
Right.
So that's good.
You know, I there was a piece of advice that I got one day from another pastor. And he told me, he says, you know, you got to decide what decisions you're going to die on the hill with. You know, if there's a lot of no sweat issues that you're arguing about, what for? You know, at the end of the day, if you have a little longer view approach, is it worth it? You know what I mean? And I'm getting back to the communication piece. And so anyway, that's just something regarding the communication. It's like, I'm a little bit more laid back than I used to be. I think the Lord's given me that. I don't know. That's probably an age thing too, but,
well, not necessarily. There's some pretty uptight older folks.
So. Yeah.
The Lord's maybe just softening some.
I don't know.
Giving you wisdom over time.
I don't know what it is, but you know, fast decisions I know are bad ones.
Yeah.
Just, you know, being able to let that simmer and just.
Or my background is rubbed off on him a little, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's one of seven. I'm one of two as far as upbringing.
Yep.
And he, I think, was given a lot more freedom and flexibility, and as well as very spontaneous.
Yeah.
And I grew up very differently, very structured, very controlled, decisions were made slowly and methodically. And so it's been a process for both of us to learn, because I think his spontaneity has helped me tremendously.
Yep.
And I tell the story of when we first got married, he used to love being, you know, he didn't love being late, but being late was not an issue. So we grew up running through airports to get to our flights. And now I think
it was part of his fitness goal. Yeah.
There you go. And over time, you know, with kids and trying to drag them through the airports running, I think he sees just the pleasure in getting there early, a little more on the slower skate, you know,
not slower way, out.
Not stressed out,
yeah, no
grabbing
doubt.
A coffee, sitting down for a little while.
You guys kind of rubbed off on each other.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So another question, kind of change subjects maybe a little bit, but it may be a little bit of a snarky question, but what has it looked like for you guys to kind of live happily ever after? You've made it 33 years, you know, it's pretty cool. Like that's the Hollywood advice for marriage, which I think we could all say is, you know, it's not necessarily the goal. But what does it look like for you guys? How have you figured that out? And how have you figured out how to, you know, work to help your spouse be the best they can be and all that, you know?
And enjoy each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're in the process of figuring that out, honestly.
That's great.
I mean, I don't want to work forever. I'm still working. I love what I do. I'm not going to make a plug. No,
we'll edit that out if you say that.
I'm kidding. But I love what I do, but at the same token, I don't want to work a lot more.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to figure out what that second half of our life looks like. From a practical giving perspective, meaning where are we going to spend our time and where are we going to spend our money?
Yeah,
and and that from a spiritual perspective, I mean, we've talked about getting trained in some type of operational thing and taking off and working for the Red Cross, or you know, it'd be so cool to have that ability and go away for a month or two and then come back, and you know, so we don't know what that looks like thrown around. Getting involved in, you know, different types of ministries here locally.
Yeah.
You know, my company's involved with Union Gospel Mission. Yeah. And so there's a lot of things that we could do. And we right now, it's one of those seasons where, to your earlier question, is, you know, how do you make big choices? Well, right now, we're kind of just letting that simmer, and we're just kind of letting the Lord.
So you're in the middle of a decision-making process.
Yeah, yeah, we really are.
Which I imagine, I mean, you're empty nesting this year, so that's, at least maybe you are. I'm sorry,
yes,
Jill.
We are.
I just created tears in your eyes accidentally.
That's going to be a sad one.
You can tell how much mom and dad love the kids.
We
so,
do.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Were you going to
No, go ahead. No, I have a follow-up question, but this is great. Keep going.
I want to know, how has hardship or suffering stressed your marriage, and how has it strengthened your marriage? Mm. Periods of suffering, hardship. How has that impacted your marriage, either for the for worse or for better?
And if you're willing, you could even share a story that you might have of something that you went through, you know, as a couple, as a family.
Sure. When we were still living in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we talked about starting a family in hopes of getting back home, because home is here for us, and decided to move back. Fortunately, we're able to move back to the area, started working, started planning, you know, for a family, and took us a while to get pregnant the first time, and miscarried. Mm-hmm. And that was a couple years before our oldest was born. Mm. Very difficult. Was 13 or 14 weeks along, so substantially into our joy-filled time. And then Bill was very supportive, and he was hurting, I think, as much as I was at that time, because we were just so filled. And, you know, when Bill's one of seven, we wanted, what, four or five kids, or at least that was our heart's goal. And to see the prolific nature of his brothers and sisters and all the kids that were being born into the family, we just were desiring this. And 2 years later, then we were able to get pregnant with Megan. But then 2 years or so after that, when we just started, you know, to try again, we just came up at a loss. I was involved at that time with MOPS, and I was on leadership, and at that time just saw time and time again others, you know, announcing their pregnancies.
Yeah.
And so we started seeking, you know, what the possibility of what was wrong, and found out they couldn't find anything wrong with either of us. And it was a tearful, hard time, but I really feel like the Lord, you know, and many times when there's stresses like that, when it regards to kids, loss, any of the infertility issues, it can be a real strain and pull people apart. But I really felt like the Lord drew us near to each other. Mm. And relied on each other to support. I might have a strong time or a strong month, and Bill might not, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And a lot of prayer, a lot of tears. You know, we had an 8-year wait, but what a joy filled. I mean, I think during that time too, I think I was talking to Bill about this just even this morning about how my prayer was, Lord, if this is not your will for us, please take this desire from me. Mm. And from us. And that desire just never went away.
Mm.
And I just really couldn't have done it without him.
Yeah.
Without the Lord, or without Bill's encouragement and strength at that time.
Yeah.
And it was hard.
Yeah. You know, adversity, when you're together and you're really together and you watch the other person hurting, adversity will bond you if you allow it.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, if you just dig into that and allow the Lord to just work in your marriage, and just, you know, for us, it was about, you know, there was super sad time, you know, like Jill said, you're watching everybody move forward with what they're, and all the happiness, and you're like, dang, man, you know, Lord, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. And, but at the same token, those are some pretty sweet times with the Lord, because you're bumped and you just want relief from that. And that's what God's all about, is providing that relief. So
meeting you in those spaces.
Yeah. There's big time growth during those times, as we know.
Yeah. How do you allow the Lord to kind of work on each other during those seasons? Like, what does it mean to watch Bill suffer and you, like, how do you comfort? Do you allow the Lord to speak to him and give him some space? Do you do the same thing with Jill? Like, what does that look like for you guys to allow the Lord to have some space working in your spouse's life?
Well, I mean, during the times of suffering, I don't know if there's any particular thing that we would do or anything, but we would pray a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, we would pray a lot together, and that doesn't mean, you know, we're praying 5 hours a day or anything, but just, you know, there's times when one person's really sad.
Yeah.
And you know, you just you lean on the Lord at that time. Mm-hmm. And so you know, we have a place in our home where we pray. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a couple of chairs that we have in our front room, and it's where we have our coffee, and it's kind of that place. You know, hopefully if you don't have one of those places, you need to get one, you know, just a place where you're comfortable and you can read. And that's kind of, and Jill's been better. I mean, I don't mind telling you, she's better at that than I am. Yeah. She's just more disciplined than I am. But her discipline has taught me a lot, you know, and as a spouse to see that she's really digging in as the guy, I'm like, dang, man, that's kind of my role. I should be leading in that area. So she's really helped me there.
You're giving me a lot more credit than I deserve.
but I mean, you do, even the kids make reference to it.
Yeah.
And by the way, the kids, I mean, when the kids come down and they see you having your quiet time and they see you praying,
sure.
They catch you praying together.
Sure.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I stage it with Lindsay for right before my kids come down the stairs. So they stage it.
There you go.
You know, along that point of your kids seeing you, I wanted just to interject that, you know, the date nights, and we are really intentional about celebrating anniversary, even if it's just going to dinner. Mm-hmm. Not only is that important for us, but it's so important for your kids to mm-hmm. see that, because then they see the importance of, wow, mom and dad really
prioritize it.
Yeah, they see that as, wow, that's important. And I think that gives them a sense of security as mm-hmm. well. So
So if there's a couple in our, someone who's listening to this podcast right now in our church or wherever they're at that are struggling in their relationship, maybe they're, you know, 2-3 years in or something like that, and they're having a hard time communicating, they're having a hard mm-hmm. time setting goals together, some of those things. What kind of things would you say to them, kind of baby steps to get going back on track or to rekindle kind of a teamwork mentality? It's funny, that's a theme that's coming up, I think, from you guys, even though we haven't said it. I see, like, you guys are a good team, which is pretty cool. I see that in you. They fist bumped. I like that. I'm inspired by it. So I don't, what kind of advice would you give to a couple that's kind of like, we're floundering right now?
If you're floundering, I think you're probably questioning if you really like the other person. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. There are times when you don't like your spouse. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
One of my good friends told me one time, he says, you know, if you want to fall out of love with somebody, over the next 30 days, pick everything you don't like about them.
Mm.
Mm. But just the opposite, mm-hmm. if you want to fall back in love with them, focus on something every day that you really like about
them.
That's
cool, yeah.
And that hit me. Mm-hmm. I thought, dang. That's pretty practical advice. And I didn't
I like that.
I didn't just bring that to the table because I thought it was cool, but I mean, it's really, he told me, and he ended up getting a divorce, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Dang.
So it doesn't always work.
Voice of wisdom in some ways, voice of pain too.
Yeah. But pretty practical. I don't know. I'm a firm believer that most guys don't want to pray with their women, mm-hmm. with their wives. Mm-hmm. It's hard for them to do, especially if you're young and you're a new Christian and you haven't, you know. I would just say lean in, man. Mm. Just take a risk. Mm. Flub it up.
Good
Your
word.
Wife's going to love you.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to appreciate the effort.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
That's cool.
Good word.
Yeah.
Things that you would add, Jill, if, you know, sometimes they say there's that 7-year lull.
Yep.
I've seen that happen in
You guys
marriages.
Have faced it 4 times now.
Yes.
Dang.
7 years in, you're like, okay, we're kind of past the honeymoon stage and the early excitement over marriage and life settling in. Maybe you begin to have kids. you've never been as tired in your life. You know, you never has been exhausted. There's never been so much demand on your time. You become co-parents. You begin to drive in parallel lanes.
Yeah.
And then you lose intimacy.
Yeah.
What would you say, Jill?
Interesting, as I was even writing some cards to some young couples that are getting married soon, is I often think if we could just reflect back on the dating that we did, you know, with our spouses and our wedding days, and think about what is it that caused me to fall in love with this person in the beginning, you know, what is it that truly I am drawn to in this person, and think about that, I think, first and foremost, and just to try to revisit that love that we first, you know, what caused me to first fall in love with Bill, and to be drawn to that. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Bill mouthed something. I didn't hear him back.
Super, he mouthed
super handsome.
Super handsome. Super I heard blue eyes at one point.
I heard his blue eyes.
No, but what you're saying goes along with what Bill actually just said about that advice of, like, if you choose to focus on what you appreciate about that person. It's similar to what you're saying, Jill, was like, what are the attributes? What are the things that cause me to love this person? You know, when Lindsay and I were first married, our first few months, we were like, have this super rough adjustment period trying to learn how to, and we were just fighting a ton. It was so strange because our dating was like amazing, right? And we're like, what's wrong with us? And I remember one night we had a particular hard night, and she goes, maybe we just need to remember like that we love each other. And that like stabbed me in the heart in a good way. Like it was like kind of a, like a helpful like rebuke to me. Like a reminder, like, oh my gosh, like we just got married. We just made our vows. And here we are fighting over these really small things. And it's like, why? I fell in love with this woman. Like, why have I committed my life to her? It was just a reminder. And I appreciate that you're saying that.
Well, it's so true. I mean, he came from a family of seven, and that, those things that were, he grew up with, you know, as far as his family beliefs, and I grew up with one of two, and the way I was brought up, and you're trying to build or mesh those together. That's huge. And you
there's
do
a lot
need
of family
create,
origin stuff that you bring into a marriage, isn't there? That you just you're marrying a whole background, not just a person, you know, which is,
I remember one of our early fights was
about how
to fold a towel of all things. You know, we're folding laundry together, and I, you know, I grew up, there's one way to fold a towel.
Was it the trifold?
No, trifold.
She wants the trifold. I'm like, what? No.
Trifold looks way better, Bill.
I thought
that's not the way
to shove it into the pole.
I roll them up like at a hotel.
No elephant folding or anything. No, I'm
so that's one of those things, that, you know, that's not something I'm going to die on the hill about. I fold the towels trifold,
and I've learned not to die over the trifold.
That's great. That's super good advice, but, though. Know what you're willing to die for, and I think you'll find. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like the die for issues are very few. After you've learned to marry a person, you love this person. You're like, I love this person. Like, there's only a few things that would cause me to not disagree. You know, the rest seems trifle like. You know, it doesn't seem as. All right, so we have a couple more minutes left. Can I ask you guys one more question, I think, before we close this out? I think one of the things I see is that you appreciate, it seems to be, the personalities that God has kind of given to each of you, and you've learned to appreciate that. But here's the question. It probably hasn't always been that way, to appreciate the distinct personality your partner's been given. So what, you know, maybe in the final question here, what kind of advice would you give to a couple that's dealing with the, you are so different than me. I don't know how to get through to you. I need to learn a lesson. What little practical steps should you learn to either speak that person's language or lean into them or help them understand you more even?
Can I start? I remember fairly early on in our marriage, Bill just has a very strong work ethic and has very... very just strong determination, and I remember him used to always come home and, what'd you do all day? And, you know, that just used to set me aside and set me off, and because I was thinking, well, what do you mean, what did I do all day? And
what'd you accomplish?
And, what'd I accomplish?
Show me your list.
And just thinking, well, I don't ask you what you accomplished all day. So why? Yep. And along that same lines, there were things that he didn't understand about what I wanted in the home or how I wanted things. And the way I was able to relate to him is, your work is the way you have it set up. You have it designed. You are leading it the way you would want it to be. And now me being a stay home mom, because I transitioned home with the kids, that pretend this is my office and I have things. And I would hope that just as your employees respect you in your work environment, that you would be able to come home and realize I'm kind of the, you know, the office manager at home. And this is the way I would like things to go.
Yeah.
And that gave him a perspective. Oh, I get that. I understand that now. When prior to it was like, no, this is home and this is work. But it opened his eyes to seeing that different perspective. And I have to tell you, that was definitely something that God unloaded on me because I didn't know how to be able to tell him, this is important. That. This is important to me, just as your work environment and how you have it run is important for you.
Do you remember that conversation, Bill? Do you remember having that?
I do.
Yeah. Was that good for you?
It was.
Yeah.
It was. It was. That gets back to the communication, you know, and her ability to articulate something that I understand.
Yeah.
I don't say every woman has the ability to do that or whatever, but there's going to be some level of communication that needs to be had. So, and it's hard, you know, I mean, good communication is hard. So she's way better at it than I am.
Yeah.
She's way better at it. So.
Well, good. This was really cool. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
I feel like out of this came some super practical things, too, which is fun. Sometimes our podcasts, I don't think, are as practical as we want them to be. But this one, I feel like there's actually about five things that you guys mentioned that you could, if you're a married couple, it's like, I need to do that. I should have it be a good thing to start. So thank you guys for
super helpful.
Your thoughts.
See, there's benefits to 33 years, my friends.
Oof, that's right.
Yeah. Here's to more. Here's to many more.
Amen to that.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for joining us this week on our Abound in Hope podcast. We have another week in marriage, and we'd love for you to join us next time. So until then, see you later.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.